The Green Bay Packers walked away from Washington with a playoff victory, advancing to meet the Arizona Cardinals in the divisional round of the playoffs. The win provided a renewed sense of optimism for this Packers team, but will that be enough? We'll break down a wild card victory. It's all coming up on Railbird Central next. To Railbird Central at 24/7 Sports and Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. We're breaking down a Green Bay Packers victory, a wild card weekend win over Washington. We'll break it all down here over the course of the next half hour. No guest today, just your unfiltered thoughts from your host of this show, but I'm not going to shortchange you. I'm going to break down as much as humanly possible in this win over Washington. That was quite a victory for a Packers team that had been looking like it was destined for a loss. Maybe not in the wild card round, but at some point in the playoffs. But they just looked better than they had in weeks. So let's get to this. The Packers win 35-18. And we'll start by going through our chips report published at 24/7 Sports is our roadmap for this win. And as always, we start with your blue chip performers, and we'll get into a whole lot more during the show later on. But your blue chip performances, the best players on the field from Sunday afternoon, starting with linebacker Mike Neal. Wow, what a pass rush the Packers provided, and Neal was perhaps the best of all, although he certainly was not the only one by any means. But Neal came up big starting in the first half by getting a forced fumble on a sack of quarterback Kirk Cousins, a strip sack. Mike Neal forced the fumble, he recovered the fumble, and it eventually led to a Packers field goal. Just all around a terrific hustle play from Neal coming off the edge and batting the ball away from Cousins as he was kind of looked as if Cousins was getting ready to throw it and then kind of reloaded. But by that time, though, it was the pocket had collapsed on him, and Neal, basically provided the Packers with 3 points essentially on that play, and the second sack of his game, pardon me, later on, coming when he provided some pressure and closed the door on the game more or less. It wasn't the last drive of the game, but time was winding down in the fourth quarter, in which Neal comes up with the sack on fourth down and turns the ball over on downs. If I'm correct, that came just the play or a few plays before Eddie Lacy fumbled the ball and gave Washington one last chance. But regardless, Mike Neal, basically two turnover-inducing plays. I know he won't get credit for the second one, but coming on a fourth down, it turned the ball over on down. So just a fantastic day from Mike Neal. The yardage lost on sacks, I believe, was something like 26 yards from Neal. So that alone was worth the price of admission. And just a terrific day for a guy who's, really not known as one of the playmakers on the team, a guy who's been around for a while, a veteran, no doubt, and a guy who's contributed to this team. But when you think of pass rushers, it's the names like Julius Peppers and Clay Matthews that really come to mind at the forefront. And on Sunday, it was Mike Neal being the guy who is perhaps head and shoulders above the rest. Albeit, though, you know, he was not the only. I'm just saying he was the best one. There was a lot of players providing a pass rush on Sunday. Joining Mike Neal in the blue chips category, Davante Adams. And I wanted to make sure somebody checked underneath the helmet of that player wearing number 17 on Sunday. I was skeptical that was Davante Adams because we haven't seen that kind of play from him all year. This was the Davante Adams people have been waiting and waiting to see for basically 2 years. Davante Adams provided some optimism his rookie year, but really fell flat in his sophomore season in the NFL. And the guy, everybody expected, okay, he's the guy who's going to pick up the slack for Jordy Nelson. He's going to be the beneficiary of all the extra targets and et cetera, et cetera. And it didn't turn out to be the case. Davante Adams struggled a lot of the season. He struggled with drops and just was not the playmaker you wanted until Sunday. Davante Adams, on the first reception of the game, his first reception of the game, broke a few tackles, got some extra yards, but then it was the drive right before halftime in which he makes a leaping 20-yard catch right along the left sideline from quarterback Aaron Rodgers. Perhaps the Davante Adams' best play of the season right there. And what it did was set up his own 10-yard touchdown reception in which he seemed to get separation. Davante Adams getting separation that hasn't happened this season either in the end zone. So just a fantastic performance for him. End up with four catches for 40-some yards total and finding the end zone. It's unfortunate he got injured during the game. It kind of got rolled up on by tight end Richard Rodgers on his knee. According to interviews in the post game, Davante Adams thinks he'll be okay, and we hope he's okay. Because if he provided the spark that he did on Sunday, he can really be a factor for this Packers, you know, team in the playoffs here now as they head into Arizona next. So I was stunned. I was mystified by the play the Packers were getting out of Davante Adams, because this is what you had wanted to see from him all along and hadn't gotten it up until now. I mean, if he can continue to do that, he is going to be a very, very solid player. Hopefully that injury won't impact him. Maybe it was more of a precautionary thing. You know, by the time the injury happened, the Packers were kind of on their way to taking control of the game. Maybe they hadn't quite had it yet at the time of the injury, but just, you know, a series or two later. And by that time, there was like, well, there's no point in risking him now coming back, perhaps. That's the fingers crossed version of what, you know, the Packers' frame of mind was, because he really had a good game. So kudos to Davante Adams. And I'll say this as well, folks. You could make an argument for any number of players in these chips categories, and they would be valid. I wouldn't put too much stock into who's getting blue, who's getting red. It's just a formula I use at 24/7 Sports. Two blue chip players, two red chip players, two cow chip players every game, regardless of good, bad, whatever, win or loss. You could make any number of suggestions, and I would agree with you. There were lots of good players during this game. But the ones I determined were perhaps among the best. Your red chip performance, Clay Matthews coming up with another big pass rush game against Washington on Sunday, really coming around, flying off the edge. I just thought his speed was coming off the edge on a stunt was really big. He had a first half sack in which he and Julius Peppers kind of almost reached the quarterback at the same time, actually forced a fumble. Kirk Cousins was lucky to recover it, but still a big loss of yardage. He ends up sharing a sack with Nick Perry in the second half of the game. But just, you know, not only that, I know Clay Matthews was credited with three quarterback hits on the day. He was consistently bringing pressure and making things uncomfortable for Kirk Cousins. So good to see Clay Matthews kind of getting back into being that playmaking type of linebacker, because there was that period there during the last, I think, what was it, weeks 15 and 16 of the season, two straight games, he didn't end up making a single tackle. And you're kind of like, where is Clay Matthews? Well, there he was on Sunday, back at the forefront and being a force for the Packers defensive front on Sunday. Your other red chip player, and you know what, I kind of did this right in the aftermath of the game, and it went to James Starks, and James Starks again did fine. Upon it, you know, further reflection, I think I probably shortchanged James Jones a little bit. Had I been able to do it over again, this red chip would have been James Jones, who led the team in both receptions and receiving yards. He led the team in yards from scrimmage. I think it was something like 81 yards. Came away with several contested footballs. I remember the one in particular came with Bashaud Breeland, Washington's cornerback, kind of draped over his back. That was really big, converted a first down. Several catches like that on the day. The back shoulder throws were big. The red chip performance went to James Starks, who, you know, once again provided a nice compliment to Eddie Lacy. Probably would have went to Eddie Lacy had he not fumbled late in the football game. If he could have just held on to that ball, Eddie Lacy ended up having a real nice performance of his own. But James Starks doing well. You know, he gets like 50-some yards on the ground, chips in 12 through the air, including he made this really nice snag of an off-target screen pass. What, really not a very good pass from Aaron Rodgers, but James Starks goes down to grab it, gets a first down on the play, ends up scoring the touchdown in the, I believe it was the third quarter, Starks scored a touchdown that re-gave the Packers a lead. They had gotten the lead, they gave it up, and then they ended up getting it back. And I think it was a lead they wouldn't relinquish for the rest of the day, as I remember correctly. James Starks, very good day on the ground, through the air, just providing a nice compliment in this game and having good ball security, unlike Eddie Lacy. You had been worried about James Starks, you know, late in the season. He had something like four fumbles over four games, was it? Something like that. Albeit he didn't lose all of them, but fumbled four times and didn't do that on Sunday. So good all-around performance from James Starks. And it, like I said, I mean, you can make any, you know, number of you know, chips, candidates, performances, whatever. We'll get through some of these later. I mean, J.C. Treader did a very good job. Casey Hayward did a very good job. Ha-ha Clinton Dix did a very good job. All these guys very deserving of being in these categories as well. Your cow chip performers, Micah Hyde. And Micah Hyde didn't do everything. Every snap was bad or anything like that. Micah Hyde drew a very, very tough draw in having to guard primarily Washington tight end Jordan Reed. That's a tough task. Reed has made, you know, he's one of the best receiving tight ends in the entire NFL and has made many defensive backs look bad this past season. So not easy by any means, but Micah Hyde being victimized perhaps more than anybody else on the entire roster, really without a doubt. I mean, including the worst was the 24-yard touchdown pass, I believe it was, right up the gut, you know, right up the seam. Cousins finds Reed, and Micah Hyde just gets beat. And I don't know what to think of Micah Hyde sometimes, because there are times he's got really good ball skills, really good. I mean, you see it on the punt returns. It's just in 3 seasons, I don't know if I've seen Micah Hyde fumble a punt return in 3 years. He just, you know, he's secure. He makes good decisions as far as catching the ball. And, you know, this he has the interception last week against, I get, or was that 2 weeks ago now? Regardless, Micah Hyde, you know, just getting beat. And he has the ball skills and doesn't have the speed, though, to make up for it, I guess. He gets, you know, anytime things downfield, he really struggles with. If he can keep things in front of him, he does a fairly good job. But, you know, that's not always possible when you're guarding a player that's running a deep route. He just doesn't have the feet to keep up with it. And so he's the cow chip performer, although, like I said, not everything was bad. In fact, Micah Hyde had a nice breakup in the end zone late in the fourth quarter that really prevented a touchdown there. So not everything he did was bad, but several things were. And not having the speed to keep up with the tight end hurt the Packers, especially early on in the game, the first, you know, three quarters or so. Your other Dimitri Goodson, and you know, it's same as the good chip performers categories. You know, there weren't many candidates for the bad ones because it was a team effort on Sunday, no doubt about it. And there weren't a lot of candidates. I thought one that you know I couldn't find anything good really to say too much about Dimitri Goodson because he ended up having the block in the back penalty on the Packers, I believe, is the very first punt return opportunity of the game. And this is what backed them up inside their own 10-yard line that eventually led to the safety. So because of that penalty, Packers backed up, cost them 2 points, and then they have to give the ball back on the kickoff. So Dimitri Goodson struggling on special teams. He was lucky not to get called for a late hit call out of bounds on the second half opening kickoff. I can't believe he didn't. So I suppose that's kind of tough to hold against him, seeing as he wasn't penalized for that play. But it was really that first penalty that cost him, and he came in on defense for a brief stint replacing Demarius Randall when he had to come out of the game injured, and Dimitri Goodson didn't do anything notable in that brief stint replacing Randall, so he gets the other cow chip. But anyway, so there is your chips report from the Packers playoff win on Sunday over Washington. But kind of going over a few other topics from this game, and one of the most important, and kind of what you're doing with me here this episode is kind of me fleshing out some thoughts perhaps for a few future articles I'll be working on in the very near future at 24/7 Sports, as I kind of think my way through a few things and reactions to this game and things like that. And something I don't think I'm going to take very long after the show to write is something that really gives you hope for that the Packers can go in to Arizona next week and win. By all means, this is not going to be easy. I mean, what was the final score 2 weeks ago in Arizona? It was 38-8, something like that. The Packers weren't even, you know, in that ball game whatsoever. But the thing that you sat here and you watched the Packers all season and you really struggled with, or you thought was one of the Packers' weakest areas of the team, was the wide receivers. They can't get open. And they're you know, they, on Sunday, got open. They did the job. Now, it's a little bit of a catch-22. I will admit that, because now, is this because the Packers magically got better and faster or whatever, or just played better, made better decisions? Or was it because they were facing a subpar Washington secondary? You know, that was one of that team's biggest weaknesses. You know, what was Washington, I think, coming into the game was ranked 25th against the pass in the NFL in 2015. You know, that was their weakest area coming in. And we knew that. But I mean, the Packers receivers had struggled, you know, ever since the bye week for, you know, the last 10 weeks or so. They had struggled getting open, getting separation, doing anything. But they did it on Sunday. And it was really a total team effort. I mean, there wasn't a wide receiver on the team that didn't play well. I mean, we already broke down the play of Devontae Adams. It, you know, he just, he that's what we were waiting for out of Devontae Adams. And I briefly mentioned James Jones. He too, you know, looked fantastic. I said, leading the team in receptions, receiving yards, coming away with several contested catches. He made one catch between the hashes. It seems like 90% of James Jones' receptions are hugging the sideline. Most of them on the back shoulder throw, because that's just about all he can do. Sometimes he gets, you know, he'll get a double move or something, make a catch along the sideline a little bit deeper. But I mean, it's he actually made a move and caught the ball down the middle of the field. It just stupefied me that it was so rare to see out of James Jones and Aaron Rodgers to find him over the seam on a play that was a very nice gain and a first down. I thought that was amazing. You've got Randall Cobb, who was very versatile, I guess would be the word to describe him in this game, lining up at both running back and wide receiver. He was open on several plays, and Aaron Rodgers had overshot him on a couple occasions. I wouldn't really fault Randall Cobb for that, but he did come away with the very first touchdown of the game that came on the broken play. And Randall Cobb, I think having one of his best performances as a runner of his career when he lined up at running back, he ends up having 5 carries in this game. And what was interesting is they don't often, when Randall Cobb lines up at running back and he gets a carry, so often it's to the sideline to get him out in space. And understandably, if I were the Packers coach, I'd want to get Randall Cobb out in space too. But they knew if they were going to play him there a lot, they couldn't do that all the time. And they actually used him in like an I formation with a lead fullback with John Kuhn in front of him on several occasions. And I think it was twice he actually ran between the tackles. I mean, Randall Cobb is 5'10" and 192 pounds. That's impressive for a guy to be. I'm not a whole lot smaller than that. You know, I couldn't imagine taking a carry between the tackles in an NFL football game. I would be killed. I might literally be killed. But Randall Cobb, you know, did it, did well, got what he could. And made as many moves as he could and found some running rooms, found some creases, you know, tried to break a tackle, at least get yards after contact, one or two, was falling forward. I give all the credit in the world for Randall Cobb to do that. That was amazing. So, and Jared Abradaris, you know, all of a sudden he started to play a bigger role. I mean, he was playing, but, you know, once Devontae Adams had to leave the game with a knee injury, now the role of Jared Abradaris increases. He does have a drop early in the game, but makes up for it with the first scoring play of his career, albeit not a touchdown, but he scores the 2-point conversion late in the game. So, good for him, good for a rookie to get involved. And if Devontae Adams can't come back, Jared Abradaris will be playing an even bigger role for this Packers team moving forward. So I that was the highlight of the day for me, was the Packers receivers being productive in this game. That's what gives you hope against Arizona. If the Packers continue to take this and do what they did on Sunday, and it's not going to be easy, because like I said, that Arizona secondary is a whole lot better than Washington's. Although the Packers kind of get a little bit lucky in terms that, you know, Tyrann Mathieu is no longer there. He was a big part of their, reason for their success this season. Albeit Tyrann Mathieu wasn't there when the Packers played him either. And the Cardinals still were able to come away with an easy win. I think the Packers will be better. Basically, because you start getting down big, and then you just start getting down on yourself, and then they even stop trying at the end of the game. It almost seems like, I'm talking about the Arizona game now, and I'm hoping for a whole lot better performance coming up in the divisional round of the playoffs. Talking about the Packers' offensive line, another big moment for them. I graded them out as an A performance. Maybe it was an A minus because it did look a little bit shaky early on. Of course, David Bakhtiari now misses his third consecutive game with an ankle injury, and you kind of held out hope that he was going to be able to do it. They hadn't ruled him out or whatever. He was questionable all along on the injury report. And the Packers, basically they're going with their fourth starter in 4 weeks, in 4 weeks at the left tackle position. Going with first David Bakhtiari going back 4 weeks ago, then tried Don Barclay, and he, didn't work out. He gave up tons of pressure. Go with Josh Sitton, and he's a good run blocker, but not a good pass blocker off the edge. And then they go with J.C. Treader, and things look shaky. He ended up having a false start. He ended up giving up a sack, albeit it wasn't the worst thing in the world because Aaron Rodgers, I thought, really should have known better. Being in the end zone, he had to get rid of that football, even if it's just a on purpose incomplete pass thrown at a wide receiver's, feet or whatever. Aaron Rodgers should have done that. But, geez, it's to the man J.C. Treader was blocking, and you're like, oh man, this is going to be a long day. But from that point forward, J.C. Treader was solid. He hardly gave up any pressure that I noticed. They gave him some help. They ran a lot of two tight end sets. I noticed the running backs chipping out here and there, but it wasn't like every play. J.C. Treader, I think found his footing and settled in, and it took him a little bit of time, but from about the first quarter onward or whatever, he was the man, and it was just a great day from the Packers offensive line all around. I thought Brian Bulaga, the bookend offensive tackle, had a great day going against Ryan Kerrigan. I thought he really performed well. The guards, of course, Joshson, TJ Lang, solid as usual. So a performance from the Packers offensive line, I thought, and in particular, J.C. Treader, once he settled down, did fantastic. That gives you hope as well. If David Bakhtiari can't return in another week, and you hope he does, you hope J.C. Treader is going to be able to hold down the fort, really, solidifying himself as the number six offensive lineman on the team. Man, J.C. Treader, I think, almost has to be, no matter who's injured, if any offensive lineman were to get injured, J.C. Treader's got to go in there almost no matter what position it is. I know it'd be, of course, he would be the first center in. He would probably now after Sunday be the first tackle in. I don't know what the Packers would do at guard because, Lane Taylor played pretty well that last game last week. But, J.C. Treader. Just kudos to him for coming in off the bench and playing really, really well. Really gave the Packers a lot of hope. Aaron Rodgers, it was an interesting game from him. The guy whose blind side J.C. Treader was protecting. Aaron Rodgers starts the game, completing only one out of his first eight passes. And you're wondering, oh my God, I mean, is this what it's going to be like all game? But really starts to settle in, and the Packers really go to a hurry-up offense, and that's where Aaron Rodgers was able to get in a rhythm, basically. He takes pride in that. He takes pride in, getting the team set up quickly so when he can catch a team, with 12 men on the field or offsides or whatever, as he did on the team's first touchdown of the game. Takes advantage, throws the touchdown to Randall Cobb, but just real up tempo stuff. And once he settled in, from the first quarter onward, really commanded that Packers offense. It just seems like Aaron Rodgers was in command of the day. You saw, I think it was the break in between the third and fourth quarters on television Fox cameras happened to catch Aaron Rodgers, just a big broad smile across his face. And it was such a rare instance to see this season. He had seemed so sour and so dour during games for so long that it was just nice to see that from Aaron Rodgers on Sunday. And so really from the first quarter onward, he really plays well, throws two touchdowns, doesn't throw any interceptions, was a little bit of a rough start, but he settles in. And I think it was very much the same for the Packers running game, who that really, second half in particular play well, get things going. Eddie Lacy has the longest run of the season, 30 yards. Sets up a James Starks touchdown. Eddie Lacy gets his own touchdown late in the game. I believe the last touchdown scored of the game. Does really well. So it was unfortunate they had the late fumble, but Packers running game gets going late in the game. On the defensive side of the football, we talked about the pass rush already. Really from everybody, and somebody I haven't really mentioned yet, Nick Perry deserves, I think, a lot of credit in this game. Having one of his best games of the season for another guy who's not really known as a playmaker, whereas you think of Clay Matthews and Julius Peppers getting all the attention, all of a sudden Nick Perry stepped up, came up with two sacks, three quarterback hits. He was a presence during this game, as were all the Packers outside linebackers. They just did a fantastic, fantastic job putting on a pass rushing clinic in this game. If guys like Mike Neal and Nick Perry can be playmakers during the playoffs, that's going to help out the Packers so much, because you don't expect it from those guys. And they did it on Sunday, so kudos to them. And hopefully they just keep on doing it. And I'll say, one more guy before we start wrapping this up in the secondary, Clinton Dix. I think he was so much to credit for the Packers' goal line stand, in which they got lucky there, which, Washington wide receiver DeSean Jackson was ruled out at about the half-yard line, the one-yard line, whatever it was, when he kind of, he didn't step in the end zone. He kind of, stepped over it and out of bounds. Clinton Dix on first down makes a stuff at the goal line. Kind of contributed to a tackle with Jake Ryan a little bit, but I think Clinton Dix was the main force. LaTroy Guyon and Clay Matthews get the stuff on second down. And then on third down, Clinton Dix breaks up the pass in the end zone, prevents a touchdown. So basically two out of three plays, Clinton Dix, making it so the Packers limiting Washington to a field goal instead of a touchdown. Fantastic series of downs there by the Packers safety. Really coming up big there, and a big reason the Packers came away with a victory. So, lots of good performances all around in this game. Mason Crosby in windy conditions making two field goals. Good job for him. Lots of praise to be thrown around after this game. As I'll give you the last segment of the show here. The day ahead, no sound bites today. But it's Packers talk show circuit day here on Monday, and I think a few of the things you're going to want to look forward to is the appearance by Randall Cobb on Inside the Huddle on the Fox 11 affiliate in Green Bay. I think it's 5 o'clock p.m. Central Time. I think it'll be interesting to hear from Randall Cobb talking about all the ways he impacted this game from, wide receiver, from running back, and scoring the touchdown. I think it was a big day from him. And on top of that, David Bakhtiari, the Packers offensive lineman, will host Clubhouse Live, streamed at PackersNews.com. I believe the time on that is 6:30 p.m., I think it'll be interesting to hear from him for a couple reasons, to get his reaction to how J.C. Tretter played, for one, at the left tackle position, and two, to kind of get an update from Bakhtiari about where he is. Will he be able to come back in time for the Arizona game now that he sat out two consecutive performances, or three performances, after suffering that ankle injury a few weeks ago. So that's what you're looking forward to at the talk show circuit. Mike McCarthy will host his, you know, usual day after game press conference at 5 o'clock p.m. Central Time, streaming live at Packers.com. I presume all the coordinators will speak as well. So lots of Packers content to look forward to on this Monday. Enjoy the win, folks. Packers staying alive for another week. It's not going to be easy going to Arizona, but there's a whole lot of things this team did this past Sunday that gives you a lot of faith and optimism that they might be able to go on a run. And what's really interesting is because Seattle won, it's technically possible the Packers could host the NFC Championship game if all the chips fall into place. That would really be fun and very interesting. So there's no shortage of motivation for the Packers there either. So this will be a fun one, folks. Enjoy the win. Enjoy your victory Monday. I'm going to take off, folks. As usual, my call to action as I end the show. If you've not done so already, please give us a rating review on iTunes. It's the one small thing we ask. This show is free of charge, no subscription, no paywall. It helps us get word out about the show. If you give us a rating and review, we'd really appreciate it. But that'll do it, folks. I leave you today with a song called Bellwether by Lotus on Psy Fidelity Records. See everyone. Go, Pack, go.